Yeah, okay, I hear you. Just open your heart right now. See, the thing is, you present yourself to Him teachable, and you ask Him to minister to your heart. There's something about relationship with God that's second to none. In Mark 3, that he called them to the mountain who He Himself wanted. It says in the Bible that no man comes to God unless he's called by Him. If you even have an inkling of a desire for the Lord, it's because He's drawing you, He's wooing you, He's calling you. Grace is calling your name. Why would He call you? Because He wants you. He wants to be one with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. Communion with you. So He called them to the mountain who He Himself wanted, and it says He ordained them or appointed them. And we all think ordained into ministry, ordained to preach the gospel. He ordained them and appointed them that they might be with Him.
Yes.
And that He might send them out to preach and teach and heal and all that stuff. What was first? That they might be with Him. Man, you don't let anything identify yourself before relationship with God. If you don't have intimacy with God, you'll reduce yourself to serving the Lord or doing something good for God. You want relationship with Him. So as they're playing soft and we're just in this place of just worshiping Him this morning, I want you in your own heart to just meet with Him in a very personal way and just tell Him that you're teachable. Just tell Him that you want Him to have His way in your life, that you yield all that you are, so that all that He is, He can be in you, so that He can make full use of the time and then the days and the efforts of our life and make Himself known for our disposition, our personality, our mindsets, our attitudes, and the power of God through our lives.
Yes, Lord.
Just talk to Him about that right now. And just ask Him to mark this weekend as a point in time where you got marked and engrafted and imparted to, just in a special way, where not only you know the difference, but just because of your life change, people know the difference. Not because you're evangelistic, not because you made an effort, because you shine. Because you shine. Because grace made a difference in your life. Because knowing Him is transforming. You're not trying to be effective. He's affected you. You're not trying to make a difference. He's made a difference in you. You're not under pressure to prove anything. He's proven His great love. And you just can't help but to be
Yes. Who
you've become. That's the grace I'm talking about this weekend. And Father, we're just presenting ourselves to You right now with the sweetest music just playing. And we're just here saying, Lord, we just thank You for affecting us and touching us and imparting to us. And we make ourselves ready for the more of You. We're singing the deeps, crying out to deep. Well, our hearts are saying, impregnate us and fill us with revelation upon revelation and understanding upon understanding. And Lord, let us see You and let us know You deeper than we've ever known You before. And let the grace of God be transforming. Let our lives be taught to live in a grace and a peace and a rest, Lord. Let everything flow from a rest in You. And I thank You that even today, Lord, and I would just pray personally that the days of striving, of pressure, of insecurity, of lack of identity, of guilt or shame or regret would just cease, that You would crush every one of those chains today. That, Lord, it would be impossible to think that way or live that way. Yes, I believe that. I believe it's impossible to live that way when You come, God, as You are. And I thank You that You break every lie and You take away every limitation. And You teach us Your great mercy and You teach us Your great love and who we are in Your sight. And Lord, let us live from that strength today. Lord God, thank You for the honor. Thank You for the time spent together. Thank You for the hunger in this room. Thank You for the grace of God. Take a minute and open your heart to Him. Just commune with Him. Connect with Him for about 30 seconds, 40 seconds. We're going to start to teach here in a minute. Just tell Him why you're here. Just give yourself to Him in a fresh way. You say, Dan, I've already done that. You continue to live that way. You live yielded. All the clay does is sit in the Master Potter's hand and become the absolute product of His creativity and His master workmanship. And then He takes off that veil and He says, ta-da! Let Him work on you today. Tell Him you're serious. Go ahead and ask Him to have His way. Go Come on, it's more than a religious prayer this morning. You won't be able to pray that just because it's a church thing. The grace of God is in this room. I'm telling you, revelation is enlightening our hearts. God, thank you. In Jesus' name, talk to him. Wrap up your conversations with him. And just thank him that he's here. Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Listen, I prayed that way and I went into that time because, you know, for so long in ministry, I'm not against ministry. Ministry, there's a place for ministry. There's a place for calling people out and ministering and speaking a word in due season. I understand all that. So when I'm talking like I'm talking, I'm not coming against anything and making light of ministry. But we have to be careful that we're not drawing everything that we are in Christ from ministry. We've got to know him. There's a place for ministry, but knowing him is transforming. It doesn't say that ministry shall make you free. It says truth will make you free. You continue in the truth, you'll know it, and it'll make you free.
Amen.
There's a place for ministry. There's a place for personal prophetic stuff. There's a place for touching somebody just at the right time. But what's been really in my heart for a long time is just teaching people that we always have the possibility, the open door, the platform of being with him, knowing him, and being known by him, and walking with him in relationship. We're not living a doctrine. If you don't pursue relationship with God, you'll reduce the gospel to a doctrine that you serve instead of a life that you live.
Amen.
Come on, Christianity is a life that we live. It's not a doctrine we serve.
Come on.
That's why a lot of people grow weary in well-doing. That's why a lot of people backpedal and backslide and go through dark seasons. I'm telling you, knowing him will transform your life. There's no dark season in knowing him because he's profuse light.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise you,
sorry,
Jesus.
I'm just feeling a little excited, but I'm trying to stay calm. It's just not working. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to overwhelm anybody.
Bring it.
Knowing him is transforming.
Yes.
My goal is not to be blessed by him. My goal is not to be provided for by him. My goal is not to survive because of him. My goal is to know him. And in knowing him, I thrive and prosper in all things.
Yes, amen.
Come on, we have, if we're not careful, we've reduced the gospel to just God helping us to make it to the end, whatever that means. This is not survival. This is knowing him in relationship with God. He's amazing. It's having communion and fellowship and intimacy with him in the face of everything. It's knowing him. It's so that in the face of everything, people look at your life and realize you know something. Come on, this thing was never promised that you would never have trials or never go through seasons where you had to pray through stuff and stand in faith. Come on, God never said that. He said, man, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He says the same storm comes to the wise and the foolish. So if the same storm's coming to the wise and foolish, we probably ought to position as wise.
Yes.
Look, positioning as wise doesn't keep the storm from coming. Positioning as wise takes you through the storm, and what God built is not shaking. And if you look at the language of Matthew 7, the storm isn't about destroying you, it's about destroying what God's been building. Come on! We take life so personal sometimes. We make it all about us and what we're going through, and we get reduced to incorporating him into our life in hopes of a better one instead of a transformed one. I promise you, I'm not a Christian for blessing. I'm a Christian to become like him. And I am not going to let anyone tell me what that limit is.
Amen.
I'm going to let grace decide that. I'm going to let go ahead. Your experience or my experience. See, here's what we've done, guys. We've studied fallen man our whole lives. We've talked Christian language, but we've studied fallen men. and we've lived, fallen men, and we've lived by human experience. And we've somehow tried to find this healthy balance of what life looks like. And we expect certain things, and we think certain things have to be certain ways, and I have to feel certain ways, and be certain ways in certain situations. And when I'm looking at this, I'm going, wait a minute. We're still conformed to the world. We're relating to what we were trained by instead of relating to what we've become. And we're afraid of being in denial. We're afraid of not being real. And we have all these psychological terms that scare us out of faith and the possibilities of grace working in us. I'm on a little tone here that I don't usually talk about, but it feels right. I hope you're following me. Come on. You were trained by life as we know it. If you're not careful and I'm not careful, we'll become Christians and we'll have a knowledge of salvation. The Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead will be living in us. But if we don't change the way we think and our mind doesn't get renewed, if we're still conformed to the world that trained us, that's a messy picture. It's a confusing picture. And it causes Christians to live like this.
That's right.
Up and down, up and down. That's not Christianity. Christianity is not having your dark seasons. Christianity is not thinking the wilderness is where you're destroyed. Jesus was in the wilderness and came out with the anointing and power. The wilderness is a place to stand firm and worship God and know that He's there and you're not alone and it's not about you. It's about making Him known. The wilderness has no ability to destroy you, make you wander, or cause you to die unless you're thinking of you. Jesus went into the wilderness thinking for God and for us, came out and anointed with power. The Israelites went into the wilderness thinking for themselves, wandered, died, and never reached a promise.
Amen.
There's a big difference between the outcomes. One little difference in motivation. Selfless, self-centered. I said it yesterday, if you're a Christian for you, you're in big trouble. You're a Christian for His name. You're a Christian for His image. You're a Christian for others. You're a Christian for the glory of God. If you're a Christian for you, you're going to go through seasons of depression, discouragement, despair, disheartenment. And you're going to call it normal. You're going to say everybody has their moments and we all go through this stuff. And all that's allowing it is a lack of understanding. And in all you're getting, get understanding. So my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. That's the one we quote all the time, Hosea 4:6. But the next verse says, I've given them the knowledge and they've rejected it. Come on, He's the truth.
Yes.
His life is truth. He didn't say, sing to me, pray to me when things are tight. He said, follow me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father. He isn't the way to heaven. He's the way back to the Father. And He's the way for heaven back inside of you.
Yes.
Come on.
I see it on church billboards. Jesus, the way, the truth, and life. The way to heaven. He's the way back to the Father. God's eternal. You're one with Him. Of course you have everlasting life. God never made man to die. He made man in His image, one with Him, to live forever. And what was lost through sin, Jesus redeemed and restored.
Amen.
That's why we live forever. Because nothing was lost. Jesus' blood is greater than man's sin. He who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might stand right in the sight of God.
Amen.
As if we never ate the tree. Come on. Anything hanging on a tree is cursed from God, by God. He didn't curse the Son. His Son was made to be sin. The thing that was killing us was put on a tree and cursed by God. And God cursed sin in the flesh, and sin shall have no dominion over you. For the law of the Spirit of life through Christ has made me free from
yes.
the law of sin and death.
Amen.
Come on, man. That's the gospel.
Yes.
He made me to never die. He made me to live in Him forever. And you think I'm going to have people issues and people trouble and world event stuff and stress and strife and frustration? Not today, friend. I am not going to get religious and incorporate Him into my life. He's become my life.
Yes.
This is not Jesus Incorporated. He is the CEO, the president, the living one.
Yeah.
And He happens to be in me.
Yeah.
And I happen to be in Him. One plus one is a stronger one.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? Christ in me. Christ in you. The hope of glory. The word glory means manifestation of God, any manifestation of God, any manifest attribute of God is the glory of God. What? The Christ in us is the hope of making Him known. He's not in you to feel better. He's in you to make Him known. He's not in you for your hair to stand up. It won't be able to help it. Your hair will stand up. He's not in me to feel fuzzy. He's in me to make Him known. Christ in you, the hope of the glory of God. Christ flowing through Him is the manifestation of that hope.
Yeah,
that's excellent.
If we're not careful, we just made it all about our blessing, all about our provision, all about us quoting promises to get things to go better. Next thing you know, we're spending all our faith on a better day instead of a transformed one. So I don't know about you, but in those moments when things ain't going the way you wish, that's when we find out what we really understand, and that's when people see who we really are. Why do they want your Jesus? Why do they want to go to your church if they can't see Him through your life in every situation? All of a sudden, we don't even realize what we're doing. We reduce Him to a doctrine or a man's belief instead of a life that's lived and changed forever. I'm telling you guys, our lives are so important to the world. The lives we live in. I'm not putting pressure on you. This is a grace privilege thing. If we just get this and embrace this and see this as a joy, oh my goodness, my life is a gift. My life is not a dread. You say, well, you don't know what I've been through, brother. What about what He's been through?
That's right. That's right.
Why don't we get our eyes to see where our eyes are? Yeah, but you don't know what I've been through. You were supposed to die already. I thought you denied yourself. Or is this still all about you? Because I'm telling you, if it's about you, you're a sitting duck.
That's right.
If any man come after me, let him deny himself. If this thing's still about you, you're in big trouble. You're a target. You're going down. You're going to think wrong. You're going to be discouraged and have despair, and you're going to have a justified analytical reason for being where you are. And you have three reasons on your list why you're not where you could be or should be. But none of those things are Lord. Hey, guys. Oh, my goodness. Friends. I feel like I gotta run back in the hood. Are you guys with me? I'm the only one that got distracted, but it's not distracted. I'll jump right back in. I just saw some friends. Bless you, Matt. Good to see you, buddy. Hi. Listen, this gospel life, I want you to grab this. Yeah, we're gonna get this. Holy Spirit, I really feel like He wants me. Now I'm just qualified and stuff, but I feel like He wants me to stay here for a second. The way you view your life is huge. See, the eye you look through determines a thing. The eye is the lamp of your body. If your eye is single, not multiple choice, not wide view lens. If your eye is single, and you narrow that thing down and look through truth and truth alone, it says, if your eye is single, your whole body is flooded with light. He says, and all you're getting, get understanding, right? He says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by thinking different. Do you get it? Come on. The way that seems right, has trained us our whole lives. And a lot of us get saved and don't understand that that training comes into our Christianity. And our minds don't change. We still believe the way we were is normal. We still believe the way we react is the way we were made. It's the way we became when Adam ate that tree. It wasn't me before that tree. I was in His image before that tree. And all of Him was in all of me before that tree. I look just like my father. I wasn't made like we grew up. I became like we grew up. Like that tree got eaten. And stop saying, well, God made us this way. No, we became that way. And if old things pass away, behold, all things are new. Then why aren't all those things challenged by the church? Why do we study a fallen man and buy in when we're already bought with a price? Come on, I'm challenging you real strong and straight because these things matter on an everyday basis. You just giving yourself a right to have a little attitude that doesn't produce life is total deception. You need to just take something a little personal and it hinders your ability to see somebody for purpose and potential is total tragedy. But yet we think it's everyday normal and everybody's going through it. Jesus isn't. And if I can't see it in his life, I don't want it in mine.
Amen.
Come on! Jesus isn't living that way. And he said, follow me. So he happens to be my standard, not our experience. Come on, get your eyes off of everything else and fix your eyes on him. Because if you look at anything else, it'll start fashioning you. It'll sneak in so subtle, it'll start defining, it'll start influencing. If you get your eyes off, well, yeah, but you don't know what I've been through and you don't know what they said. Yeah, but what does any of that have to do with what I'm talking about? But it's right where we go all the time. And everybody wants to tell their story of where they've been and what they've done. And I thought this was about his story and where he's been and what he's done. Yeah, but you need to be more sensitive, brother. You don't know my upbringing. You don't know my upbringing. So now we're reduced to hashing out each other's horror stories to see who's been through the most hell, but we sing it's all about heaven.
Come on.
And now we make where we've been matter more than where he's been, and somehow we need him to tend to where we've been instead of us tend to where he's been.
That's right.
And all of a sudden we let a word of a man rise above a word of the living God. All of a sudden we let an action when we were 6 years old ride over the action of God. Not me, friend, not anymore. 19 years ago, man, that thing snapped off of me. That ain't happening to me no more. That's why I look like a wild man to you. Because ain't nobody sitting at the table eating my lunch anymore. He has prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Yes.
Dude! Man, I feel the talk. Come on! He can change your mind. He can change your life.
Yes.
Trying so hard to be a Christian. If you're trying hard to be a Christian, you're missing Christianity. Yeah. It's being. Being what? Being his. Being precious in sight. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. He knows what you've done, and he still sent his son. While you were yet a sinner, he sent his son. I don't preach a grace that allows you to stay the same. I preach a grace that changes your life forever.
Amen.
This grace apart from transformation is actually perversion. Grace doesn't allow me to stay the same. Grace is his workmanship. Grace is his power and his ability on my behalf. Grace is what makes me like my papa. You follow me?
Yes.
You're saved by grace through
faith.
And the more I believe it's possible, and the more I look to him and believe I can follow him, the more I believe Holy Spirit's in me and willing to work effectually in me, the more I release faith in the truth, the more grace makes my faith my reality. And all of a sudden I'm changed by the Spirit of God. And it's not because I bit my lip to be a better Christian. I'm a believer. I believe I'm accepted in the Beloved. I believe that when he sees me, he doesn't see sin. He sees my heart desire for him. I believe he sees me righteous and apart from sin. I believe that Jesus really took my sin in his body on the tree. And I've died to sin. And I live under righteousness. And by his stripes I'm healed.
Amen.
I believe that. You see, wonder if your body's not feeling good. It's still the truth. You can't bear pursue there. It's not a t-shirt, 30-day money-back guarantee. Been there, did that, tried that, didn't work for me. It's a life, not a method. If we don't get this relationship cooking, guys, and we don't understand how God loves us and longs to be one with us in the way of relationship, and he doesn't long in the sense of insecurity, it's because of love. It's the beauty of who he is. He wants communion. If we don't get that, we'll reduce this book to principles we study and apply in times of trouble, hoping to get results, and scratch our heads and wonder where the results are. We'll just fight over doctrine, and our experiences will be our power in our argument. Come on, if we don't pursue relationship, this book is a bunch of principles we're applying to our life, hoping for a better one. Catch a break. And then when the break doesn't come, you're confused in a quandary. Now you're circling, wonder if God doesn't even love me, wonder what's wrong, wonder the door open, wonder why God's letting, wonder why the devil. And all of a sudden you reveal you have no idea whether you're even coming or going. You're just asking for help in a present need. Come on, we are far more than that through the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We are not living from circumstance to circumstance trying to apply the right scriptures to our need. Come on, guys. We at large, I'm not saying you, I'm talking body of Christ, at large have gotten reduced to that. As I travel the country, I realize that's the push and the mindset. We've used the Word of God, the promise books, and all the stuff we've created trying to get through the day and be okay. It proves that our focus is on ourselves and our well-being and our survival. We've reduced the truth of the gospel to that. That's not why He's inside of you. He's inside of you to shine. He's inside of you to make peace and show mercy. He's inside of you for you to be living, walking forgiveness. That's why He's in you. He's not in you to try to forgive. He's in you to walk in forgiveness. Come on, do you think God did what He did through Jesus and loved us with this unfailing love so that we can just be loved or so that we can become the very thing that rescued us? Do you think He forgave us of everything we've ever done just so we can stand and sing we're forgiven? Or is it so we become a living expression of forgiveness? I teach this everywhere I go. I'm convinced of this in my heart. People that have a hard time forgiving have never tasted the joy of being truly forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's just the doctrine to them that they don't understand. Because if you ever see the joy of God forgiving you of everything you've ever done, the joy is in releasing people of everything they've ever done to release them into their life's destiny. Why would you stereotype a man for his sin when God saw you for potential? Why don't you let the blood speak better things? Yeah?
Yeah?
Come on, guys. I'm just cheering you on. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just excited. It's your fault. It's your fault. Gonna blame it on somebody. Adam, did you eat the tree? It was the woman you gave me. Don't look at me. I wouldn't eat the tree if you're one that you would have gave me the woman. I probably wouldn't eat the tree. Wrong answer, Adam. It's the worship team you gave this morning. That's what's wrong with me this morning. So if you guys have a problem with me, it's their fault. That's what you read in Genesis. Didn't we grow up that way?
Yep.
When we acted out and knew it wasn't right, we had a reason for it. A justification. It was usually a person, an event, somebody pushed me too far, what do you expect, how long should I be able to take this? Well, somebody had to break down sooner or later. We always had a justification for our flesh. Watch. If that doesn't change now that we're a Christian, we'll keep acting out in the flesh and justify it. And yet do the Christian things that we do, and we won't live impressive to the world, and our lives will shine. Do you know there's a lot of people out there that believe that we're Christians because we're weak and afraid and the gospel's a crutch we lean on to get us through emotionally. They believe that strongly. They believe weak people are Christians because they can't stand. Do you know why they believe that? We've proved it to them. Because we react sometimes worse than them in trial. Because we believe we have all these rights and we question where God is, and I thought He was going to be there for me and I thought He loved me. Some of us still get trapped questioning God's love when it's already settled through the cross. Some of us are still letting life define if God loves us or not, circumstances.
Well, I can't believe my car's not running right on the same week when my wife is acting crazy and my one child took a left turn. I thought she left me.
See, and we rationalize the events to God loving us when love's already proven. Faith works through love. Love never fails. You're to be rooted and grounded in love. So if you're still questioning love, you don't have a clue. You've reduced this to principles.
That's right.
And you're in a quandary, not in relationship.
Ooh. That one's still sinking a little. You feel it in the room.
Come on. There's folks in this room. And if you be honest, you've said out of your mouth at a certain time in the course of events, God, where are you? I thought you loved me. And it reveals that you don't understand love. You're trying to find love through blessing instead of love through His Son that's been given. Christ crucified is the measuring stick of God's love. Love is settled. You're rooted and grounded. Yes, He loves me because Christ came. He died on that cross. He loves me. He didn't change His mind. Love never failed. He saw the best in me when He hung there. He saw my destiny and He didn't let go. Come hell or high water, He loves me. He proved it on the cross. Now I'm rooted and grounded in love, and love never fails, and faith worketh through love. Faith doesn't work because you have a need. Fear works because you have a need. Faith works because you have love. Come on.
Yeah.
Are you guys getting something out of that?
Come on.
It feels strong to me. The love of God is settled on that tree. For God so loved you. We sing it in children's church, but I bet it's our song too. Jesus loves me, this I know. How do you know?
The Bible tells us
that. Probably ought to be good enough. Probably shouldn't let a sputtering car and a left-turn child question what's already written. And all of a sudden, God's destined to prove His love every day through circumstantial evidence? Are you kidding me? That's turning Him into a busboy or a table waiter. He's a father. And He said, I love you loud and clear. What do you think Jesus is saying when He's hanging there? What's the statement to the earth? I know who you people are. Every blow is worth it. Every drop of blood. We created you in our image. We know you. You have greater potential. There's things to see, things to become, things to understand. Everything I'm doing is worth your life. It's worth you raising from the dead, being born again. I love you. You're more than what you realize. That's what the cross is crying out. I know who you are, Dan. He does. You guys all right? I'm calming down a little. I was a little excited to be his there for me. I was fired up. Let's get you something a little bit. I'm going to try to finish. I think we're coming back. Yeah, 2 o'clock. Man, I don't do good with this stuff. So let's see if I can do good. I don't do good with this stuff, do I? Dude? We do this 10 and 2 and 7 in Mississippi up there in the Cleveland Delta. And we just have one service. They just bring in food. That first year we did it, they did. Thursday night. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 10, 2, and 7. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 10, 2, and 7. And by Saturday, they got smart. They said, this guy don't stop. And this is just one big service, so either we fast for the weekend, or we'll bring in food. So they were just bringing in food, and we just kept going. Then, you remember the first year? So then we turned it into a tradition. He brings the smoker, and on Saturday, everybody at the morning service is invited to stay, and we have fellowship and break bread, and it's a beautiful thing. Now I'm missing you guys. Now I'm ready to do it all again. I'm ready to cry. I love you guys. And, okay, go to Colossians, please. I want you to see something. Because this thing I'm talking about, relationship, I want to impart something for about a half hour and pray over you guys. And just, I think this is going to be a real teaching and parting time. Listen, this is important as you turn into Colossians. Just go to chapter 1. We'll start somewhere. And there's so much stuff there, we can almost go anywhere. Colossians is chock full of gospel. I color code my Bible. Every color means something to me. So look at my Colossians.
It's like, oh, it's like one big rainbow, man.
Yay for you, Jesus. I mean, Colossians actually tells you that you have been delivered from the power of darkness, translated in the kingdom of the Son of His love. Here's my question. I'm not being facetious or cynical when I say this. I always wonder what would happen if the church would grow past her feelings and sensuality and actually stand alone in a room, lift their hands, and actually declare they've been delivered and believe that God has delivered them. Here's what we do. We don't feel settled, so we believe we're unsettled. We don't feel free, so we declare we're bound. We don't feel God's love, so we seek for God's touch through ministry and through altars, and we fail to step out and ever grow in faith and truth. So we live our whole Christian lives for the ministry of the Spirit instead of communion of the Spirit. Are you guys with me? Come on, it's confronting, but it's very straight on and spot on. I've been a Christian long enough. I've been around a lot of stuff, man. And a lot of us are ministering to one another's feelings when we're called to live by faith. And you say, yeah, but my feelings are real. Yeah, they're real, but they're misdefined. They're still aligned to the old man. You're still thinking for yourself. That's why the feelings are raging. And you haven't gotten along with him and just accepted some things and made some exchanges and grew in that place of relationship where all of a sudden your eye looks different than it looked before. And I'm not talking about the color. I'm talking about what it sees. Are you following me? Come on, I used to wake up and think for myself. I didn't even like me, but I thought for me. It was a survival thing. I wanted you to like me to prove I was likable, but I didn't even like me, so I needed you to. So my life was dependent on you and how folks treated me and did. And if it didn't go well, I'm more hostile, frustrated, insecure, and vulnerable. Come on, that's how people live. By the time you're 10, you're a product of how life has been. It's earlier than that, but by the time you're 15, you're strongly influenced by your story. From the time they laughed at you in grade school at the lunch table and two other kids chimed in, you either became introverted, hurt, broken, insecure, or a fighter. That's a Bible thing. Why? Because every person on the earth was born into Adam. Every person was born into a lost identity. Every person was born into the fact that they had to try to find out who they were, and they were in desperate need of love. Why? Because when Adam ate the tree, he got cut off from the source of love. It didn't mean God didn't love him anymore. He wasn't walking in his image anymore. He got cut off. He began to be refathered, retrained, and the wisdom of the world tutored him. And every man was born into that lie, and he must be born again. Come on. If God made man in his image, and God made man to love, and God is love, so man was made to love, not need love. The reason we all needed love is because man got cut off from love. We need to get born again, get grafted back into the vine, so we can become what we were created to be and not be insecure anymore.
Amen.
Do you know how many Christians are hurt because they don't get that? They just prayed a prayer to go to heaven, and that's all they've been taught? They just prayed a prayer because their marriage was in trouble? They just incorporated God into their life to get them through the mess? That is not why we're Christians. We're Christians to be restored back to our created value, and it's His image, and God is love. Man was made to love. Anything outside of pursuing that is living apart from grace, because grace empowers God's will. If you're not pursuing God's image, no wonder it feels so tough. No wonder life feels so tough. Because you're waking up for you and for what God can do for you instead of waking up for His image and being empowered by grace, making a statement through your life. That's Christianity, church. That's why He's in us. Why else would He be in us? Why would you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to become a witness if that wasn't what it's all about? That doesn't mean preaching with a bullhorn on a street corner. It means walking in love. Walking in love. I personally know folks, and I'm not saying it's wrong to preach with a corner of a street with bullhorn. Don't read into what I'm saying, but I personally know folks that do that and are they're friends that we talk about this stuff, and they don't agree. They have a different vision, but they're actually unloving and they're mean and they're judgmental. And they're not making a difference. Time will tell. They're actually hurting folks. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance.
Amen. Come on.
Mercy triumphs over judgment.
Amen.
Love covers a multitude of sin. We're afraid to preach that. We think we're enabling sin. No, the Bible says we're crushing it.
That's right.
Because if any man ever tastes and sees that he is really good, why would you go back to that thing?
Right.
Come on. We're not preaching some grace that leaves you the same. We're preaching a grace that changes you forever.
Right. Right. Yes. Glory to God.
I'm not afraid to preach it. See, I live with me. You don't, I do. I have great confidence in who I've become.
Amen.
I sleep with me, wake up with me. I know, babe. I used to not like me, and I really love me now. Not in a vain, weird way. I love what he's allowed me to become. You know why that's important? Because you love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't have a good view of yourself, you don't have a good view of your neighbor. If you don't see you clear, how do you see them clear? If you see yourself through hate and condemnation and vanity and fault-finding and nitpicking and shame and guilt, then guess what you're going to tend to do? You're going to see what's wrong with everybody else because it's a survival mechanism, so it makes you not so bad. Everybody else has their issues too. And you'll look through the eye you see yourself in. You love God with everything you are, and you love your neighbor as yourself. Here's the paradox. You can't love God with everything you are unless you see His first love.
Amen.
So if we don't understand, if we teach the gospel in a way where people are still singing about how confused we are why God would love people like us. Come on! There's a mystery out there in the body of Christ. We'll never know why God would love us like this. He's amazing. So we make Him like a separate entity, and He's love, He's the lover, and we're the mess. It's a wonder He considers us. No, He loves your potential. He loves who He created you to be. He loves what He looks like inside of you and what you look like when you're yielded to Him. He loves you.
Amen.
He doesn't love where you've been and what you've done. He doesn't love that tree that Adam ate. He loves your potential, your created value, your destiny. Come on, no pastor in my life. And it's not a condemnation on pastors. I'm just telling you, we haven't seen this thing clear. No pastor in my life has ever told me that the cross exposes my value. It was always about my sin. Come on, nobody pays a high price for nothing. Everybody says Jesus died on the cross because we're sinners. No, this is not a play on words. Listen carefully. He had to die because of our sin. But He didn't die on the cross because of our sin. He died to redeem our value, potential, and destiny. He died on the cross because something was lost.
Yes.
Our created value was lost. Matthew 18. He came to save that, not who, to save that which was lost.
Right.
Oh yeah.
What was lost? Your created value. Your heritage, your potential. The image. What was lost? The image. And if all you teach is, if you don't know if you die tonight, if you don't know where you're going, pray this prayer, we're missing the point. And we're making it all about us and security, eternal security. I hear that phrase all the time. It's a dead giveaway. You're thinking for yourself, and you're going to be in trouble, and life's going to eat your lunch and speak louder than truth. And you'll be a product of your circumstances even though you go to church. If you don't understand, in all you're getting, get understanding. Come on. This is not hard to understand what I'm saying. I know you can hear me this morning. I'm crying out with passion. I'm not trying to be overwhelming. It's just overwhelming to me. This message is so good.
Yes.
I didn't even want to go to church anymore because I was just conscious of sin. This Jesus, why would He die and do something so radical? He was just an Easter story to me. And every Easter I had to look at pictures of Him all beat up, saying, "Forgive them, Father, they don't know what to do." And yet I feel like I'm a destined sinner and damned to sin and a perpetual failure. And I don't get why He loves me, because everybody else doesn't love me. So now I'm reduced to, well, He's just God. He's weird like that. He just loves. But it was so impersonal. through. It didn't have the power to change my life. It had the power to make me question. I didn't realize that I was born into a lost identity, that I was born into Adam. Nobody ever taught me that. When I was born, I had no clue who I was, and I tried to find myself all along the way. And the only truth about you is in Jesus. He's the truth. Come on! We let our relationships define us. We let the ones we do have and don't have. We let all that stuff matter more than truth. My days of being insecure, hurt, frustrated, forlorn, discouraged, you don't have to believe me. They've been over for 19 years. That's why, that's what's wrong with me. I have passion in me. Life is not so tough. Come on, I know there's situations in the room. I had a sick mother for 40 years. I watched MS destroy my mother's life and body, and I was a Christian for some of that time, like 18 of those years, praying for her, changing her diapers, carrying her up to bed as a young man, on tubes, fed, tubes feeding, and bathroom tubes. Don't tell me I don't understand hardship. That's just one story. Alcoholic dad who never said I love you. Had to drive you home from the bars. You couldn't walk. He cursed me the whole way to the house. Don't tell me I don't know hardship. You see, yeah, but I was touched from. Wonder if I was. What does any of that matter now that he's come?
Yeah.
We're looking at the wrong place, and we're justifying the lie, assuring tomorrow will be yesterday when a new day wants to come. Come on, I'm preaching in your house, man. You gave me the mic. I'll do justice to the authority you gave me. I feel the gospel all over me. I'm trying to feel the gospel. God, it's gotten good. See, sometimes you see somebody like me coming across and you think, well, you don't understand my life. You know, and you get that presumptuous little natural thought. Well, that's fine for you to say. I'm glad everything's going good for you. You just don't know what I'm in the middle of, Pastor. And you're doing yourself the biggest injustice in your life, because what you're doing is you're making that one thing bigger than who he is in you.
That's right.
Don't you do that. Come on. My mama died early, 68. Does it look like I've changed my mind? Does it look like I've coveted my mother at the cost of who he is? Or have I allowed who he is to keep me okay?
That's right.
2 weeks after my mother passed, I looked at my watch and I thought, oh my goodness, I can run my frequency on because my schedule, my life's different than some folks. And I turned on a road and was heading to go see her and realized she was passed. Wow. I was halfway there and it hit me, she just passed. And I didn't fall apart and cry, boo-hoo. I began to worship God for her life and for eternity. And that she's safe and well because of your shed blood. If you wouldn't have shed your blood, it's a total loss. Jesus, but we've won. It's impossible to lose if my eyes stay fixed on you. And I had a worship experience. Yeah. That's all that's wrong with me. The only thing you see wrong with me is I'm a believer.
Amen.
I believe in the right things. I'm not believing life, impressions, feelings, fears,
yes,
suggestions. Guys, we spend countless hours ministering to each other based on feelings, impressions, memories, flashbacks, dreams, instead of just giving truth that makes men free. You come to me as a pastor, I'm not insensitive. Believe me, I understand. I have a life too. I've lived life too. Jesus isn't unsympathetic that he can't sympathize. He walked in the flesh as a man. He was faced with everything you're faced with. He was tempted at all points, yet without sin. So he understands. What the Bible's trying to tell you is he's not going to say, oh, poor baby. What it means is he can understand. He can relate, but he's going to give you truth. The last thing you need is, oh, honey. Almost all the time, that's the last thing you need, and that's what we want the most, and that'll never change you. There's a place to be compassionate. There's a place to be sensitive. Then there's a place when a husband walks out on a wife, or a wife on a husband, you realize the thing that it brings. You realize the strain that it causes. You realize the children. You get it. You get the picture. It's not a happy scene. But to just wrap your arms around the spouse that was cheated on and make them a victim is not the kingdom of God. To stereotype them and make them a product of what the spouse has done instead of a product of what Christ has finished. No, time to rise up and be like Him. You're not a victim. They're not a villain. They're deceived. They're blind. They're in trouble. Why are you crying for you when you could be crying for them? Trouble is we surround ourselves with folks that would feel just like us. And then they become our support system. We're licking each other's wounds. Nobody's ever healed. And they're our justification for staying the same. And we call it friendship. Come on, I'm on this thing right now. You can hear the strength of what I'm telling you. You can hear it's right. Why you need console when we need the truth?
Yes.
That makes us free. Yes. I just need somebody to sympathize and say, poor baby, I can't believe he did that to you. Poor man, buddy, I can't believe she did that to you. She must have broke your heart. I'm like, oh, come here, Lord Jesus. I just pray you make you feel better. That's not, the Lord's not even in that.
That's right. Hello.
We think that's ministry. No, you rock them, you hold them, you let the tears run down your eyes because you wish they weren't in that situation. But don't you give them more than 20, 30 seconds of that. Just so they realize you understand. You just rock them and hold them and you say, now listen to me. Your biggest temptation is to become a product of what she's just done. Your biggest temptation is to be a product of what he's just done. Flip it. It doesn't matter if it's the guy or the girl. Listen to me. That would be a lie, a tragic deception. You're not a man with a problem. Your wife's in big trouble. It's not time to cry for you. It's time to continue to lay down your life and carry your cross and follow Jesus.
Amen.
Stop taking account of suffer wrongs. Love, you say you love her. I do, I love her, I love her. Well, then love doesn't seek its own and takes no account. So make sure you're crying for her right now. Instead, what about me? You died, remember? Oh, Dan, you got to get real. You got to face reality. You're in denial. People have feelings, Dan. No, people have the fall of man they've been trained by. And the trouble is most of the church won't agree with that and will accommodate the feelings, get caught in rightness and wrongness, victim and villain, and nobody wins. It's not the righteousness of God, it's the law. Come on, I'm preaching, man. God forbid I would go home and find my wife in a situation like that and then I stand there and cry for myself after preaching the kingdom to you. No, my immediate thought would be what has twisted and gone so wrong in her for a moment to allow her to be in that position. Oh my goodness, she's in despair and trouble. And if I would cry a tear, it would be for her sake. Because I'm no less anointed, no less appointed, no less called, no less a son than before she did what she did.
Right.
And why would I let her decide who I am when I sing He is Lord? Why would I make it all about me when I sing it's all about Him? Come on, I'm preaching a strong gospel to you that a lot of people won't even want to agree with because we want to hold on to the rights we inherited through the fall of man. Let me ask you a question. How do you deny yourself and maintain rights? Here's the deal. When you deny yourself, you forfeit every right you inherited through sin to obtain one right. To be like Him. And in the situation you're in, if you can't see what you're doing in Jesus' life, then it shouldn't be in yours. Get alone with God and work that thing out of you. But by no means accept it and find someone to support it. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Come on, this is a strong gospel. I'm not no reflection on pastor. This is the stuff we don't preach strong enough. I'm not saying he does that. I don't know him well enough. I'm not projecting on him. At large, it's been my experience. We don't talk this straight enough and have these kind of family settings and stay sober in who we are and why. We do a lot of blessing meetings and pray over and feel better and you're broken, come, be healed. I wonder why we're always broken. Because we don't see clear. Now, I'm not being arrogant right now. God knows, and so does the devil. So please help me, don't judge what I'm saying. You will have a ridiculous time trying to break me. Because you're not on the earth for me. I'm on the earth for love. And I've learned a long time ago, it's not about me. The thing that I get to do called ministry, whatever that really is, ministry is just loving people to me. I got this neck ministry. The only reason it's neck ministry is because the IRS knows who I am. Because people bless me sometimes. And it's this illegal thing. There'd be no neck ministries if it wasn't for the IRS. So thank the IRS and neck ministry. What's neck ministry? It just means holding the body fast to the head. Just keep it fixed on Jesus.
Come on.
Years ago, I was reading my Bible. 18 years ago in my room. I was walking back and forth, nobody home. And I'm reading how the hand and the foot, we all have need of. Don't say I don't have need of thee. And I said, Lord, this is cool. I was talking out loud just like he was there because I think he is.
That's right.
So I either been out of my mind for a long time or I'm right. I'm just telling me I'm some of yours. So you're out of your mind. No, I'm out of yours. So I woke up and I said, Lord, this is cool. I can get there. I said, together we make up the whole of who you are. We all work together. So this is the body. This is awesome. And I said, Lord, if it's a fair ground, I hope I'm standing right in the archway, the living room dining room. I'll never forget it. I'm standing right there. I said, Lord, a fair question. Like, am I a certain part of the body? Do you see me as a fitting part? Or is that interchange? Or is this just an analogy? Or do you see me as part? He said, Dan, I'm raising you up to be a neck in the body of Christ. And I said, a neck? Yeah. I said, a neck? I did. I made a funny face. And I was like, a neck? You know. Because I was like, a neck? And this holy, I can't even explain it. It'll make the crowd remember. This holy, reverent touch came over me. God said in a whisper. I don't know if he talks to you like that, but he talks in a motionally whisper sometimes. Messes it up.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. Messed up is a good thing in the kingdom. This holy reverence came over me. I said, a neck. And he went, phew. And I just began to cry in his presence because it was so touching. It was holy. So I can tell you, it was holy. And I just was crying, and he said, I just felt like it was some kind of honorable big deal kind of thing more than I realized what he was saying. And I said, okay, neck. So all those years later, I started traveling, and the CPA was in a meeting, and I had just resigned from full-time pastoring, and I didn't have the knowledge financially of a lot of stuff. I am so non-educated. No, I've just been with Jesus, and that's what I got going for me. And I know 2 + 2, but don't take me a lot farther. No, but I didn't have a lot of natural knowledge and things. And the CPA, I'm in a meeting, and it was in the day I'm just praying for everybody, and I'm just rolling. And God was starting to get me to train more and equip more, but I got pretty involved in this meeting. And I remember the first lady we prayed for, she was in her mid-50s, and she had chemo treatments, or radiation, and something hit an optic nerve and paralyzed her eye. She couldn't see. It was just all blur, and it was frozen. It was really strange. Like, when you talk to her, her eye would move, and the other one just stayed in the same spot all the time. And it really would get your attention when she'd look around the room. This eye never moved. It just was stuck. She came up for prayer. So, pray for her. CPA sitting in there and prayed for her, and she said, oh my God, oh my God. And she's looking around the room and her eyes are going, yeah. And it's like, oh. It's really, it's like, you think you believe and you think you're ready, but when God does that stuff, it's amazing. And it freaks you out. And you're sure you're believing, but when it happens, you're like, it's just how much we all need to grow. I mean, we know the technical side of the word. We have got the promises down. We go, well, this isn't my group tend to go that way, but it's time to grow in relationship. Because you've been quoting the words, some of us still wear blue in the face. If you don't get a grip on this thing after a while, you just question everything and you have that t-shirt. Been there, did that, didn't work for me. You minister to people, you pastor people, and they say, well, I've tried that, pastor. And I said, well, that right there is the dead giveaway. This thing isn't a method. It's not 60-day try me, see if you like me. It's a life.
Yes.
Faith is a life, not a season. Faith is a life you live in the face of it. It's in the face of your mother's situation. It's in the face of even after she passes, nothing changes about what you believe. You don't let her passing change what's already written. You say, God, there's a place for me to grow. There's a place for me to mature. Keep doing a work in me. I am not turning back.
Amen.
5 months later, I saw a mother with the same condition healed in the service who hadn't moved the right side of her body for 5.5 years, watched it come alive, watched her 14-year-old daughter stand there and cry uncontrollably because she was fearful that her mother was going to die. And I watched her push her wheelchair to the car. Why? Because I didn't take mom's death personal. I took the gospel personal. And I'm not turning tail and running and changing the message. I'm preaching the gospel that makes men free.
Amen.
Come on. Yeah, but what about your mother? What about her? We're growing in Christ.
Yes.
Come on.
Come on.
Very careful with that cynical, analytical thing that talks against truth. You say, well, God made us that way. Seminaries say, don't let anybody talk you out of your ability to reason. That's a scary teaching. Because God didn't make us that way. We became that way. God never made you with the ability to talk yourself out of Him.
That's right.
That happened through deception. And the more she listened to the other voice, the more it made sense. Enter the way that seems right. See what happened? We've been subservient to that thing ever since and fighting that thing ever since. I'm telling you, we're saved now. We're apart from that tree. But I'll tell you, that tree's still in the garden. That voice is still speaking. You just follow Him. Come on. I was telling that story, that lady's eye. See, I had fun with it. I had so much fun with it. I said, you're telling me you can see? She said, I can see it. She's moved her eye, but her friends, her girlfriends knew her eye was stuck. You could not know. It was really sightly. I mean, we weren't trying to be rude, but you could not notice. It just sat there. Her friends were looking, and they saw her eyes move, and they're falling and freaking out. And I said, you're telling me you can see everything? She said, yeah. I said, look at me. I said, am I a good-looking fella to you? She said, you're very good-looking. I said, now I know you can see me. I just had fun with it. I'm just having fun. I actually don't think I'm that handsome of a fella. I'm just having fun. And she was courteous because God moved through me. Of course she was going to tell me I love the baby girl. So I ruined the moment. It was so funny. So the CPA comes up to me and he says, hey, this is God. And I said, I believe it was. If it wasn't, we're in trouble. And he said, listen, the Lord put on my heart that you're moving into a season in your life where you have some need of things that you don't have understanding for, and things are going to happen real quick. We didn't know. Some businessman just called my house, said I'm supposed to sow into you every week X amount of money. I'm like, what? He said, yeah, God told me to do it until He tells me not to. And He's just, God was so good to me. But I was like, you can't do that. I'm not even set up for that. I'm never going to have a snowball. I don't know. And this guy comes up and says, you're in a season where if you don't, you're going to have a snowball. And I'm like, this is God. So he was very prophetic. He said, I have the understanding and the knowledge to do what's necessary for you. I'm a certified CPA. And he said, so I would like to do these things for you. I said, what are you saying? He said, I would like to bless you and be your CPA and just make it happen, man. I said, well, what's it going to involve? He said, it's going to involve nothing but saying yes and letting me do it. My CPA for 8 years never charged me a penny.
Glory to God.
Kept my records, watched over everything. He recently passed. And because he was very, he was 82. He recently passed and he sold his business. And he sold the business and found out as he sold the business, he said, it was kind of like he was making his home ready. He sold his business and And he said to the fellow that bought it, he said, this is part of the buying of business. He said, there's this fellow that I serve and bless. And I want you to agree to me that you'll continue to take care of him and serve him to the best of your ability according to his need. And he said, agreed, I would love to help him. Isn't that beautiful stuff?
Yeah.
That guy was my CPA. The reason I'm telling that story is because of that ministry. So he said, he called me, he said, you're going to need the name of a ministry for the IRS. And I said, a name? He said, yeah, like Dan Mullen Ministries. I almost dropped the phone. I was like, no, it just didn't sound right. I was like, no. And he says, like Dan Mullen. I said, oh, no, God, no. And he laughed. And he said, well, sorry. I just was giving you an idea of what I was talking about. I said, well, I said, I don't even want. He said, I know, that's the last thing. We need it. It's just so the IRS can locate you. And I looked. I was like, Lord. And he was like, I got it. Neck Ministries. He said, oh, that's awesome. Like, cast the net. I said, no, not N-E-T. N-E-C-K. Neck. He said, neck. Just like me. So I thought I would be like God to him, tell him the story. And he'd go, whoa. And I said, yeah, Neck Ministries. Holding the body faster than the head. He said, oh, well, I guess it'll work for now. Maybe you can come up with something later. I was like, he didn't get it. So they did a web search. There's a couple ministries on the earth. There's a few ministries in the world. They did a web search. There's not a ministry in the world with the name Neptune. There's like 500 Bethels, 500 Living Waters. There's like 10,000. They won with that. You know that's God. I ate all my time. Oh my goodness. No, I did. You got to break and have some lunch and stuff. Let me show you this real quick. Group. Oh God. Lord, help me. Jesus. I know you're here. I'm in trouble. I don't do good with this stuff. Oh. Are some of you coming back at you? I'm not trying to manipulate you being here, but if you can come to these sessions, they'll build, you'll put it all together, and that's the way you'll get the most out of the weekend. I understand everybody can't come to everything. I feel so undone right now, but I feel like I need to stop. No, I'm going to just pray, because then you guys can go fellowship, have some lunch, be comfortable, chill a little, stretch, go to the potty, whatever. Then we'll come back at 2. Is that all right? Is that fair?
Yeah.
I'm going to stop. I want to go. I'm feeling like I should stop. I swear I have this discipline. Huh?
Come on.
It's really rare. Why don't we do something? Can we just stand before the Lord in honor of Him? And you standing is just an expression. And I know I asked you to stand first, and now I'm trying to explain. But as you stand, just posture your heart as, Lord, man, I just receive your love today. Man, I just want this whole reason why. It's going to be so big in my life. So let's just lift our hands to Him if you want to. You don't have to. It's just a sign of yielding. It's a sign of surrender, of honor. I'm just giving myself to you. Humility. It's a lot. Means a lot to lift your hands. So, Father, we just lift our hands to you and we say thank you for the gospel.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for never seeing us apart from our created value. Thanks that on our darkest day, our most willful venture, you didn't lose sight of who we are. In our greatest, darkest moment, all you saw was destiny, purpose, and potential. Thanks for a love that never fails. Lord, I don't just want to be loved by a love that never fails. It's so impressive to me when I think of how you've seen me that I want to see everyone that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thanking you for the grace that makes me a love that never fails. Because the whole goal of our instruction is love. The whole purpose of the commandment is love. The whole reason you made me is love. And Father, I thank you for the grace that's changing my heart and making my heart like yours. And I give up every right and every reason for the flesh. And Father, I thank you for giving me a clear understanding of the truth. And I thank you that old way that seems right to man is so exposed. From this day forward, I thank you, Holy Spirit, you will expose it if it's there. Because I want you and more of you. In me and through me. In your holy name, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Just a teaching moment. morning, man. I love you guys. We'll be back at 2. Have a good time. Hook up with somebody. Make a friend. Meet somebody you don't really know. Have some lunch. Buy them lunch. Bless them. Do something. Amen.